Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table on this very hot Sunday morning. We are grateful to gather together both in person and online. For those of us that are gathering online, we continue to have some issues with our live stream with desktops and laptops. So I recognize the irony that you're not hearing me as I say this, but I'm saying it anyways. And we do have that accessible via phones and via the app as well. So we hope you can work with our team there to find your way. And the recording does function properly, and we hope to get that figured out in the next couple days. I'm going to invite us to move together into worship. If you'd stand either in body or spirit, and we'll join our hearts and voices together. This is our music team sharing Turning Over Tables.
As we move into a time of prayer.
In out of the way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise unrelent, wondered would you always live like this. Then the delight, when your courage kindled, and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you.
When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my sister, I see my sister. Forgiveness is the garment of our courage, the power to make the peace we long to know. Open up our eyes to see the wounds that bind.
I see my sister. Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We welcome those online. Our host, Stephen Starr, is with you. This morning, I was talking to Bob, and I was telling him, I'm so thankful for all those who came together and have AC here. I was not here, but I've heard stories of fan blowing. Yeah, but I'm so thankful for this beautiful, beautiful AC. And then yesterday it was so hot, and I was outside, but I was thinking of all those who are outside. We love them, and may God, and I always say this, it's just that feeling that just blows in, and it's hot weather, and hot air blows in through, and we are thinking of them, and may they find cooling station wherever they can. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those who are Century. You can find it on your benches. And you can find a link online if those were online. We have a new number. We had this system where you can text new whenever you're new to our community. The number is 916-452-5016. You can text new and you can get connected with me and our co-pastors and learn more about our ministries and the table. It used to be, before we used to use text, but then we went through a transition phase. Now we're coming back with the text number, which is the easier way for people to connect. And that's the number. If you're interested in learning more about Table Farm, which is a small farm we operate in Hollywood Park, text the word farm to the same number, 916-452-5016. This will help you to learn more about our farm and the ways we grow food alongside neighbors to give through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet. So you can also use that number and text farm if you want to be connected with our farm. We are doing cleanup coming July 13th, that is on a Saturday, from 9 to 11. Last year we had a major cleanup for our basement and all around here. This year we are just rearranging a few things, cleaning up our closet, wiping and dusting, and just, it's usually our sanctuary and our fireside room, and that's our main focus. So you could sign up on our website. You can go ahead, and this is on Saturday from 9 to 11, and everybody's welcome. Also, we have next Sunday, we have a pop-up service in Davis in Yolo County at Davis UMC at 4 p.m. So we're inviting each and everyone to join if you can. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing Rock My Soul by George Cradle.
I've been a motherless child, I've been an orphan alone, looking for comfort for my soul. Don't matter how hard I try, don't matter which place I go, nothing can heal me except you, Lord. You rock my soul in your love. Oh, together we're making a home, oh Lord, sweet Lord. Do 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 do. still rooms that I can close. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Swing wide the gates, unlock the doors. You rock, come on, soul in your love. Oh, together we're making a home. Oh Lord, sweet Lord, you rock my soul in your love. Oh, together we're making a home. Oh Lord, sweet Lord, your goodness surprises me. Rises up like a mother's love with healing in her wings. Hold me close now and speak tenderly. Rock me until things have been relieved. Oh, my soul cries for you. Oh Lord, your presence is beautiful. All I want is you. You rock my soul. Only you can make me whole. Your love is better than fortune and gold. All I want is you. All I want is you. Oh Lord.
Good morning, my name is Bob Martinez, and I don't know about you, but after that song by our amazing music team, I felt 10 degrees cooler, you know? Breezes running on the island, man. Jamaica. That was beautiful. Right now, I want to invite our children and their volunteers to their summer children activities, and moms and dads, relax. We may be crazy, but we're not insane. They won't be playing in the backyard. They'll be in their rooms trying to cool off. Our reading this morning comes from the second chapter of Ezekiel, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and as always, we invite you to follow along. He said to me, "O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation who have rebelled against me, and they and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord their God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. They shall know that there has been a prophet among them."
And as our musicians move down, I'll invite us to move into a spirit of prayer. God, may the depth of your love, may the depth of your good news move freely in and through the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts. May we open our lives to the depth of your grace and the hope you have for the world. We offer this time and our lives in your creative ways in many names. Amen. In a book called Learning to Walk in the Dark, the preacher to preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, shares a story about exploring sand dunes on Cumberland Island, which is just south of the mainland of Georgia. She was there on a trip with her husband a number of years back, and she describes exploring the dunes like this. Her husband was looking for fossilized teeth of long-dead sharks, and she was looking for sand spurs so that she would not step on one. And this meant that neither of them was actually looking very far past their own feet, so the huge loggerhead turtle took them both by surprise. She was still alive, but just barely. Her shell hot to the touch from the noonday sun. And we both knew what had happened, writes Barbara. She had come ashore during the night to lay her eggs, and when she had finished, she had looked around for the brightest horizon to lead her back to the sea. And mistaking the distant lights on the mainland, though, for the sky reflecting over the ocean, she went in the wrong way. Judging by her tracks, she had dragged herself through the sand until her flippers were buried and she could go no further. And we found her where she had given up, half cooked by the sun, but still able to turn one eye up to look at us as we bent down over her. Barbara worked there to bury the huge turtle in the sand to try to keep her cool. And her husband ran back toward the ranger station. And about an hour later, that turtle was on her back with tire chains around her front legs being dragged behind a Park Service Jeep toward the ocean. And the dunes were so deep that her mouth was filled with sand as she was drugged. Her head was bent back underneath, and Barbara was afraid that it was going to break the turtle's neck. And finally, the Jeep stopped at the edge of the water. And together, all three of them, the ranger and the couple, gathered around, and they turned this huge turtle over. And then all three looked and stepped back as the turtle was just motionless in that space. And then waves started to move, and every wave brought her back to a sense of life, washing the sand from her eyes and making her shell start to at least glimmer in places again. When a particularly large wave broke over her, she lifted her head, and she tried to move her back legs. And then the next wave rolled over her, and it was light enough that she could find her foothold this time. And she pushed off back into the water that is her home. And watching her swim slowly away after her nightmare ride through the dunes, Barbara notes this: it is sometimes hard to tell whether you're being killed or saved by the hands that turn your life upside down. This is something, it's my sense at least, of what the prophet Ezekiel knew as we encounter him in this morning's reading. Not unlike that huge loggerhead turtle that's hot to the touch from the noonday sun near the Atlantic Ocean, Ezekiel and his people have been driven from their homes. They're languishing in exile, not near the Atlantic, but near the river Shabar. And instead of being flipped on his back with tire chains around his legs, Ezekiel is knocked to the ground, face down, by a vivid image, a wild vision of the mystery of God. The book of Ezekiel opens, "In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river Shabar, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." And if you're not familiar with the book of Ezekiel, I want to give you a fair warning that it is disorienting, utterly disorienting to our 21st century ears and ways of moving in the world. It's a wild dream, wild image after wild image. It's uncontainable in so many ways, something like that story from Barbara Brown Taylor. Chapter 1 describes some of the visions, and just so you get a sense, it goes like this. As I looked, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the middle of the fire, something like gleaming amber. In the middle of it was something like four living creatures. This was their appearance. They were of human form. That's just the beginning, and it keeps going from there. Within a few chapters, the untamed vision presented to Ezekiel comes now in the form of a scroll with words of lamentation, mourning, and woe. These are words on a scroll that the prophet is supposed to literally eat, lamentation and woe. And I imagine this huge turtle's mouth open and filling with sand, violently being dragged across the dunes toward the sea, may have resonated with how Ezekiel actually felt when he experienced opening his mouth to eat lamentation and woe and pain. Reverend Dr. Luke Powery is the dean of the chapel at Duke University, and he notes that we often think about the Holy Spirit and we celebrate this connection of the Spirit to like ecstatic joy, to what we would say in this worship series is flourishing. But the Holy Spirit comes to Ezekiel not initially in a time of flourishing, but in an experience of communal loss, a community being driven from its homeland, forced migration, disconnection, exile, what you could say is languishing. And later in this same book, the Spirit is going to lead Ezekiel into the Valley of Dry Bones. It's maybe a more familiar part of the story, at least for some of us. And it's in the hot sun of the dunes that the Spirit moves in places where suffering and death are palpable, like that turtle was experiencing, like the dry bones represent. And Reverend Dr. Luke Powery says it plain. He says, this is holy honesty in the face of existential hell. Most of us intuitively turn away. We don't want to be drug by chains into places of suffering. And we try countless ways, at least I do, to medicate those moments when we find our way or find ourselves being pulled in directions we don't want to go. Those feelings of being, as our musician sang so stunningly, a motherless child, an orphan, alone. James Baldwin says, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And he knew something of what it was to be drugged through the sand. Don Bisson is a spiritual director, and he's a Marist brother living in New York, and he's been teaching a class alongside Sandra Lomason. Sandra is part of our community, and she was the founder, alongside others, of Bread of Life. It's a center for spiritual direction here in Sacramento. Sandra and Don have been teaching a class together over these last months, and they're going to offer this again in the fall. It's a 9-month course. You can access it online, and there's applications that are going out now. The course is called Tending Souls in a Time of Deepening Shadow Without Losing Hope. Who doesn't need that course right now? Don Bisson describes the world this way. He says, the logic of evil is despair. I'm going to let us just take that in for a second, because I've had months to work on this, and it's still working on me. But the logic of evil is despair. The lights on the mainland lured that huge turtle in the wrong direction. False lights, false logic, lures all of us, I would argue, astray at times in our lives. And with more and more strip malls along the coast, what hope do these turtles actually even have? Their navigational systems are being made obsolete by what we call human comfort, human progress. They seem almost destined to go astray, destined to languish in hot sun. Webster's defines languishing like this: to be or become feeble, to be or live in a state of depression or decreasing vitality, or this is my favorite part of it, to suffer neglect or, quote, to become dispirited. To languish is to become dispirited, without spirit, disconnected from the spirit. And it's in this very moment of feeling feeble, feeling neglected by God, being dispirited, that the Holy Spirit shows up for Ezekiel and these people who are in exile, driven from the only land they'd ever known as home. And this is central to our Jewish and Christian tradition. The Spirit of God shows up amid pain and loss, amid suffering and even death, and leads the people of God from languishing to flourishing. The Spirit says to Ezekiel, O mortal, stand up on your feet. O mortal, stand up on your feet. Dr. K.C. Thernberg Sigmund writes, through an apocalyptic vision, that's what all of this is in Ezekiel, it's an apocalyptic vision, not in the sense of like end times necessarily, but like revealing something through a disrupting, disorienting vision. Through an apocalyptic vision, Ezekiel is invited to be a catalyst between Yahweh, between God and the diaspora, in the rebuilding and reorganization of a restored Jerusalem. This is his God-given task. Even if the people to whom he will speak resist the words that lead to restoration. And I wonder where in our own lives we might be called right now by the Spirit to stand up. What has knocked us to the ground? And sitting with some of you over these last weeks, the lists are very, very long. What has knocked us to the ground, leaving us feel trapped in a logic of despair? And what would it be like to communally and personally make ourselves available to holy honesty in ways which might invite the Spirit to drag us back home, drag us from languishing in the scorching summer heat to flourishing in the waters which sustain life? One of the parts of this short reading in Ezekiel that I believe can unlock some of this for me is something that I most often don't want to face. And I recognize that all of us come from different places, so my entry into this may be different than yours. But Ezekiel's call by the Spirit is to be faithful in living out and sharing God's vision. The Spirit does not guarantee or even expect Ezekiel to be successful or fruitful. It's that part of the story that I mostly want to turn right past. Ezekiel 2:5 says, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And one of the many shiny lights that leads me astray from the waters that sustain is the seductive tendency to imagine that my own worth is dependent upon my own goodness. Instead of trusting God's vision for my own flourishing, I am often lured by a false vision of God, tangled in ego, that ties my self-worth, my sacred worth, not to God, but to my own capacity to check off a never-ending list of that which I imagine to define righteousness. But nope. The task of Ezekiel is not to earn his worth by being good, no matter how you frame the goodness. The task is to flourish by being faithful to God's vision. So this involves, for me, a form of, and this is a catchword for some people, so stay with me. If you go into your body, the word is repent. Ugh. The Greek word, metanoia, is really a powerful word. And it might not mean exactly what some of you have been taught or some of us go to on the surface. The Greek word for repent literally means, and this comes from Reverend Dr. Carol Root, change how you think after being with. Change how you think after being with. That is, turn around, shift your being in another direction. Change your purpose after this encounter. In other words, exchange your way of seeing for God's way of seeing. God's reign and God's way are always already unfolding among us. We can and we're invited to trust that truth. The exhausted Israelites living in Babylon were ripped from their home. And they were stuck somewhere unfamiliar, uncomfortable, that was clearly not home. They were driven like that huge turtle away from the waters that had sustained them, and they were languishing in hot midday sun. They were exhausted by turmoil, by unsettled circumstances, and they were unsure of their own capacity. They didn't know, actually, whether they had what it took to live up to their end of the deal, if they could check off all the lists that they had constructed that meant they were righteous. And in fact, all evidence in history and experience would lead us to believe that this is the case, that their belonging and living from that truth, they would actually stumble and fail to do so. But God said it was not their job to uphold this relationship. Father Richard Rohr says it like this. The prophet Ezekiel proclaims that when Israel sins, all God does is love them more. What if that was the dominant image we had of God that we carried around in our lives? I'm going to say it again. The prophet Ezekiel proclaims that when Israel sins, all God does is love them more. What would it be like to take that into our hearts and bodies? Friends, our task is to live and to trust and to share this love. The very vision of God is for you to flourish. For the whole world, all of creation, the cosmos, as it says in the New Testament, to flourish. So may we stand up. And may our ways of seeing fade away, that the eyes of God might see through us and bring us home to healing waters that nourish and sustain life. So I want to invite us to try something. We don't always do this here at the table, but I want to invite us to try something, and if it helps you, it sometimes helps me to be in a spirit of prayer. I know these pews aren't set up to always pray beautifully. That's why Linda and teams of people have created beautiful prayer stations around us. So if you want to move to one of those, you're welcome to, or you can stay right where you are, and I invite you to just close your eyes and hold your hands and your body in whatever place might feel most centering for you. This is a prayer that comes to us from Reverend Dr. Carol Root. She calls it Follow, Seek, Breathe, a prayer of reorientation. So I invite us to dwell and breathe in a spirit of prayer. Follow me, Jesus says. Yes, we answer. But how to follow? What to do or not do? What to learn or unlearn? What to say or not say? What to read or not read? What to eat or not eat? How to think or not think? What to believe or not believe? Seek me first, Jesus says. Yes, we answer. answer, but how to seek, what to look for or look at, what to listen to or listen for, what to cling to or let go of, what to take up or put down, what to fight for or against. We hear so many voices with so many answers to so many questions. Which ones are right? How do we know? Breathe. Again, breathe. Disciple, one little step after the last. You will see deeper. You will listen wider. You will recognize quicker. You will join in sooner. You will seek and you will follow. God will do this. Changing hearts and lives is what God does. We simply say yes and begin. Amen.
As we transition from prayer to table, I'm aware that sometimes all of life, seems to be a prayer.
Amen.
And so it is that we move from that kind of prayer of imagining and calming and centering and opening to a time of confessing. As we come together to God's table, we pause to acknowledge the ways we are not always sure we have what it takes to remember our belonging, to let go of the list, which is also very handy for some of us who don't keep lists. That's what I have to confess, because it puts others in a hard place sometimes. Much of what we have as shortcomings can put others in hard places. And so that's why we confess. So I invite us to stand before I start crying too much. There'll be a prayer on the screen for us to join our voices as one. Let us pray.
God of love and healing, your vision for all of creation to flourish. You look upon us with eyes of love, but we do not recognize your vision for our lives.
We do not trust your vision for the world. As Father Richard reminds us, the prophet Ezekiel proclaims when Israel sins, all God does is love them more. God looks upon all of us with eyes of tender love. God longs for you to flourish right here, right now. God longs for the whole of creation to know flourishing, and God changes hearts and lives. So God is always already calling creation into ways of flourishing, and may we trust that our task is simply to be faithful to God who does this work, and may that be enough. May the people of God say amen.
Amen. And let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church through generation after generation, and it recognizes and celebrates the presence of Christ within each of us, within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We invite you to turn and share a short symbol of peace with your neighbor.
Was chaos. Water and earth had yet to take shape, and God, the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky, and God touched the earth, and plants turned green, and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and all kinds of swimming beings like huge turtles started to make waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." And then God and all of creation rested. They rested in the beauty and the power of being present to the here and now. But they couldn't stay there for long. The people of God started to languish in the midday sun. And so God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out love and healing and the waters that sustain life and placed in a form that the people might come to recognize a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us as in eyes of love and then to carry us home to those healing waters.
Did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love one another, but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we became afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was just too great. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what his coming, going, and coming again means for us. And we can still be grateful and call and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Jesus gathered his friends together. He took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both and gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me. The words Jesus taught his disciples, and we encourage you to name and address God in the language that is most dear and true to your heart. Let us pray.
Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone. For those of us who are watching on their phones, right, we encourage you now to bring close to you whatever you are going to use for this meal, your bread and your juice. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will share this meal in two locations, up at the front and in the back. We want folks to know that on each platter is bread that was baked for us. In the center is a gluten-free option. And in the cups is always grape juice in our tradition. There are places, as Matt said earlier, to be in an attitude of prayer around the sanctuary, either kneeling or standing, or you can always do that simply sitting right where you are. Every week, there are those among us for whom this is something very new and different, and that is very beautiful. There are those among us for whom this is a life practice. That is also beautiful. But all of us, always remember that there's nothing you can do to make a mistake here. We are in this divine dance of God together, and we watch over one another in love.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the whole world. And the bread of life broken for you, and God's love poured out for you. We encourage those praying with candles to remain in a spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of your love revealed to creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread, of communion or common union, may we be woven together in the threads of your grace and sent into the world to align with your healing and hope. May this become our way of life, our vision through seeing with your eyes. May the people of God say amen. Friends, it is our hope that you will wonder together with us about next steps that God might be leading us to take. There are a couple of invitations that we would like to offer to you. One of them actually is hard news to share. It's we learned this week that Rise Up Bakery over in San Francisco, the building adjacent to their bakery in San Francisco caught fire. And when it did, the firefighters doing their job put out the fire, but that impacted the cold storage that Rise Up uses. And so what that has meant is that we don't have bread outside this morning from Rise Up. So we'll work together with folks that had placed orders to make sure that we reimburse for those. But we won't have bread right now for Rise Up, and we really don't know the timeline. It's based on when their bakery gets back up and running, and then they'll be here test baking as they also get that going in the next couple of weeks. Andy and our team of apprentices will be outside with vegetables and also flowers from our little farm down in Hollywood Park. So we encourage you to stop by there. I know some of you made orders for those. If you haven't, you can place an order to pick up a bag of vegetables or produce from our farm on Sunday mornings, or flowers. You can do that on our website, or just see what the young people have outside as we gather. As Sarneet mentioned, this coming Saturday, we'll be here at the church to gather to do some cleaning. So we know that it'll be hot, so we'll turn on the air conditioning. You can escape the heat, and you can do hard work of getting sweaty even when it's terrible outside. And then at 4 p.m. next Sunday, we will be, for those in Yolo County, having a pop-up experience over there alongside the folks at Davis UMC. And then finally, a lot has shifted in our United Methodist Church, and a lot is always shifting in our United Methodist Church. But over this last week, there has been some announcements for those that follow. We are a small little church here that's connected to a global church called the United Methodist Church. And our region of that, it's called the Western Jurisdiction, the Western region of the U.S., is going to gather in Spokane on Wednesday through Saturday. And we thought that meeting would be, I thought it would be fairly uneventful and just an opportunity to celebrate our two retiring bishops, Bishop Karen Olivito, who is in the mountain sky, like the Denver area, and our bishop, Minerva Carcano, who is based out of San Francisco in this area. But instead, we are going to go there and elect two new bishops. And so what this means is that Becca Kramer Mauder, who is part of our community, is one of the delegates who will be there. There are 100 delegates who will prayerfully discern together who might be called among us as pastors to be a new bishop. So Becca is on that team. Reverend Kristen Stone King, Reverend Dr. Kristen Stone King, this is her home church affiliation. She's a professor at Pacific School of Religion. Reverend Matoya Yamada IV, who works for the Global Church in Nashville. This is also her home church. All three of them will be delegates. They're helping to discern faithfully where God is calling the church. Others among us, I'll be there along with other pastors that are connected to our church, like Mike Harrell, like George Dominguez, also Bishop Brown, who worships with us online often and is here sometimes in person as well. We'll all be gathering in that space. And so I will just invite us to pause for a moment of prayer for those folks that are heading off in that way. And then our musicians will help us send us out with a song into the world. So God, we pray for this little expression of your church that we know as the United Methodist Church. May the folks gathering in the coming days in Spokane listen deeply to your spirit that stirs among us. May you lead us, God, to be a church that boldly expresses your love for all, that fiercely lives out your hope for the world, and that tenderly moves in the ways of your compassion and healing. May the week ahead nurture the souls that gather and enliven us to become the church that you need us to be. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, I invite you to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians are going to send us out. This is their own version of This Little Light of Mine. Friends, may you hear in the depth of your being in this very moment the Spirit of God coming to you and saying, mortal, stand up. Let your light shine. Move in the world, noticing how the light of God is shining all around you. Go in peace, flourishing in God's love. Amen.